Hi, welcome back to Silverlight TV. I'm John Popa with Microsoft, and today I've got two guests on to talk to you about custom markup extensions in Silverlight 5. We've got Mark Harper. How you doing, yeah, Mark?
Doing fine.
Good, thanks for coming on. We've got Sundar Kumar.
Yeah, that's right, actually.
Cool, I said the name right.
Yeah, you said the name right.
So these are the Silverlight dudes. They're the guys who basically created the custom markup extensions on the Silverlight team.
Right.
And I got them on here because there's been a lot of confusion. I got a lot of questions on what is custom markup extensions, why would you want to use it, and why did the team create this? And then, so we decided to talk to the team about how they did this, and then also show some examples of like when this is useful and talk about some of the limitations, how it relates to WPF, because that's where some of the ideas came from as well. And I want to start off the show first by thanking you guys, especially Mark, for helping me out right before Mix earlier this year on basically a last-minute request I made to him to write me a custom markup extension. Then he was like, what? And I think he did it at 3 a.m., and he basically wrote me a custom markup extension that I showed during Mix, which was well-received. Thank you.
Cool. You bet.
So with that said, can you guys tell me a little bit about what you do on the Silverlight team and how custom markup extensions came about?
Sure. So I'm the program manager on the Silverlight team. Mm-hmm. So I work for the, I own the parser, Silverlight XAML parser. And Silverlight in custom extensions, markup extensions are one of the features which came very often because people were used to markup extensions from WPF. They wanted to do something which they already knew, so they wanted to carry whatever they knew, and they knew the kind of the strength of it or what it is for. It is markup extensions are the way to go. To write XAML in the succinct and concise manner, actually.
So it's a way to, people who are familiar with WPF and markup extensions there have been allowed to basically make XAML do whatever they want.
Right, absolutely.
Before, in Silverlight, we couldn't. So now with Silverlight, with custom markup extensions, we can...
It enables them, basically.
Yeah, we can make it run any code we want.
Absolutely.
Cool.
And apart from this, we were also able to see many scenarios where people were using custom markup extensions in different ways, actually. Mm-hmm. For example, few people were using it for localization and globalization, and there are a few scenarios where people were using it with MEF, actually, Managed Extension Framework.
Yeah.
And there are several scenarios like this, actually.
Okay.
And as you know, markup extension is very easy to create. If you have kind of haven't done it in WPF, it is no different in Silverlight, apart from few minor changes.
It's actually simpler and easier, I think, in
absolutely.
Silverlight.
Absolutely.
So with that, before we get too deep into what they do and where they use it, can we show a simple example?
Absolutely.
File new. I like this. File new project right here on Silverlight TV.
Yeah. Let's see, fast custom markup extensions.
Okay, so I'll kind of talk through what you're doing. And creating a, we, by the way, we call it CMEs, custom markup extensions, because we like acronyms here. So, okay, new Silverlight project, and once we're ready.
Absolutely.
What would a custom markup extension look like in the XAML?
Sure. So, let's say I can define a text block, and I can say, so it kind of, I mean, has the same protocol or syntax like any other binding. So it's another markup extension.
So we're still using binding.
Yeah.
And local will be our namespace resolver.
Right. And so here I'm just going to, this is how it is going to look in the XAML, actually.
Okay.
This is how simple it is.
So this is something we commonly call curly brace syntax. It's the compact syntax that's used for setting attributes. But for any of the markup extensions, including custom markup extensions, if it's necessary, you can use the full angle bracket syntax.
Oh, okay.
If you so choose.
That's true, yeah, because we all get kind of spoiled. I know I use the curly brace all the time, but I forgot, and geez, back when I wrote my Silverlight 2 book, that I used to explain to people you could actually write the binding syntax full out with the XAML tags.
Yeah,
that didn't go away, huh? It's still there?
It's still there. The compact syntax is definitely the more popular.
So as you're typing this in, and I'll ask you if you don't mind, could you grab the bar and move it over a little so people can see all the code
there?
Sure. Cool. So basically, you're creating a class. It's got the last name of extension, and then you're implementing an interface called iMarkup extension. I assume that's the magic. Mm-hmm.
So the naming first markup extension is a naming convention, not unlike attributes.
Okay.
So whereas you can create some attribute or define some attribute class, give it the attribute name, in usage, you don't actually have to use the word attribute.
So basically, if I'm hearing it correctly, what you're saying is first markup extension is a class name, And then in XAML, you would call it first markup.
That's correct.
Okay. So you have to have extension at the end of this.
Yeah, so like here, actually.
You don't actually have to, but you can use, you know, you can use the extension without the extension word.
Okay.
This will facilitate if you happen to have within the same framework an object and then some way that you would like to create an instance of that object in
sure.
XAML. So that you can have, let's call it foo. You can have the foo and the foo extension in the same namespace.
We forgot to close our text box. Never happens to me. Cool. So now we're missing a using statement, I assume. There we go.
Yeah, so without building, actually, it kind of doesn't give the resolve thing, actually. I at least need to do one build where it kind of, gives me that option. Actually.
Sure. So you build it, and it says, hey, you're missing system
yeah,
XAML.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I use refactoring tools for that as well.
Right.
I never remember which using statements I need.
So this is the most simple custom markup extension where it is going to return hello world.
And it says hello world out there for those who can't see it.
Yeah.
Can we flip over to the code again real quick?
Absolutely.
So just show this real quick and tell me where I'm wrong if I am. But basically, you got your class, you're implementing iMarkup extension. The reason it's a string is because you're returning a string?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. And then basically the method, the provide value is the interface that you have to implement.
Right, absolutely. And other thing is the iMarkup extension, the template parameter there, it is generally the reference classes, actually. It's a reference type.
Okay.
So that's the way.
Now, do you always return string, or can you return something else, too?
So you can return any other reference type, basically.
Great.
So that's the big advantage of
it. Let's go back and look at the XAML real quick, and just make sure everybody's got that. So the XAML, again, is just you do a normal binding, but instead of binding it to, like, name or
absolutely. That sample, simple it is, actually.
And that's actually, is that the path right there?
Or right,
is
that, right.
Because
this, so what that is the name of the class.
Class.
What we do here is when we see the curly brace syntax, in the context of the parse, we look up, the prefix is local. We'll look up local.
Did we define local in the XAML?
Yeah.
So we did. I didn't see it.
We must have.
If
we flip back to the XAML, you'll
great.
See local defined as the CLR namespace first CME. If you flip back to the code, you'll see that first markup extension is in the first CME namespace.
Right,
that's
right.
How we do the mapping.
So local is your choice, obviously.
Exactly.
Which is what I used to.
And so what the parser does is at the time that it sees the object in the curly brace syntax, it creates an instance of it. After having created that instance, calls provide value.
Okay.
And what it is that's returned from provide value is what we actually do set the property to.
And obviously there's more involved examples, which I think we have some
yeah,
to show
yeah,
as well.
Yeah. So another thing to notice, so while defining the custom markup extension or markup extension, we provide we add the extension thing to it. But
okay.
While calling, we don't really.
Exactly.
So it is just first markup.
Yeah, I think when I did my examples for Mix and for whatnot, I made them big long names, but it was mostly just for clarity. I wouldn't use 50 character names in real programming examples.
Sure. Next thing we can see is we'll try to pass some parameters.
That's a good question. So how do you pass a parameter? Sundar says, I'm glad you asked.
So it's very simple. I'm going to define a couple of properties and
and these would be type objects, so they could be anything. But you could define these, I assume, as string or any scalar.
That's correct.
Okay.
And because it's a type that has properties, just like any other type that has properties that you see in XAML, we recognize what the type is, and we'll call the correct type converter for that type.
Okay, good.
So you can represent an int as a string, or anything with a type converter could be a property on your markup.
And it's barking right now because we haven't compiled yet, I assume.
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, we've set up the properties here. Back in XAML, he passes in by name, the name of the actual, using reflection, I assume, to figure out what the name is. And then inside a provide value, it's going to use those. So the first thing you should do, obviously, for coding this is to make sure that inside a provide value, somebody passed value in, because they're not required to in the XAML. So we got val1, and we'll have a val2.
Right.
And then we could spit those out with a return.
Absolutely.
Cool. I think people get that. That's cool. So you brought some other examples, too, which have some more involved.
Yeah, I can. I'll try to show the angular brackets format.
Okay.
Which I already have.
Cool. We do our toString.
That is the simplest
example.
Sure.
And this is passing where the numbers were.
It returns the 50. So passing parameter is kind of really simple. You just need to The angular bracket format, which Mark was telling, is something like this.
And the parameters are named parameters.
That's correct.
Right. So positional.
Positional parameters aren't allowed in the Silverlight markup extension.
Okay. Could you do that in WPF?
You could do that in WPF. Okay. It was kind of a hard cut, but it was something that, in the end, was while syntactically convenient, not necessary for the actual
operation. Right. It's not going to kill you one way or the other. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So this is the angular bracket format, which Mark was talking
this
about.
This is a new example, or is this the same example?
Same example. Okay. Basically, the addition of numbers. I'm just passing these two parameters in the angular
bracket. So either you could write all of that code, or you could write that.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a tough choice.
So, okay. Basically, yeah.
Yeah, that's why I guess I had to call out that the angle.
You know, it's we all know that, and I'm sure everybody here knows it too, but you just don't think about it as often that you could do that. Cool.
It's verbose, yeah, for sure.
Definitely. Okay, and you had some other examples too, right?
Absolutely. And before going on to that, so it'll be kind of interesting to know what really this, I mean, there is a parameter called as iService provider, mm-hmm. actually. So it has few services, a few things to provide for the custom markup extension. So Mark would explain great deal about it.
So at the time that we call provide value, there's information that the markup extension could find useful from the context of the parse that only the parse could know because certain things haven't happened yet. We haven't set a property yet.
Like what kind of element am I on?
Exactly. Or, one of them is the target. The target of the markup extension. What's the property? What's the object on which that property is going to be set?
And the target is you got the source and the target. The target is the XAML element.
Is the XAML
not the source object? Which could be like, you know, whatever you're bound to.
Yeah. Okay. If that were a binding, that would be true.
Right.
But in this case, for this markup extension, let's just imagine that it's a simple property. So it's the object, the target property. Another that you may want to...
Root of the parse.
Yeah, the root of the parse, the lexical scope.
So what is the root in this case?
The root in this case is likely to be a user control. Yeah. It's the user control...
Not the grid. It's not the parent object.
Exactly.
It's the root of the page.
It's the root of the object.
Okay.
The root of the object is one of those things that's often handy in the case of, like, say, for type converters, for events. The target of an event is always, the event handler is always going to be on the root object, regardless
if you're
of
where. In a user control that's in a user control that's in a user control, it's going to get the.
It would be the root of the lexical scope, the root lexical scope of the XAML.
Okay.
It's a fine distinction, but it's something that only the parser would know.
Sure.
Another is. Being able to resolve types given prefixes is one of those things that only the parser would know because it relies on prefixes, XML NS definitions that existed in the XML, in the XAML.
Okay.
So no one knows that except for the parser.
So before we show this example, can you flip to the XAML real quick?
Absolutely.
Because I think this is the one that...
Yeah, so with custom markup extensions, we were kind of thinking of doing something interesting, actually. Mm-hmm. So what we tried to do is... we wired up custom markup extension to three different controls.
Okay.
And on three different events, actually. So we wanted these three events to fire one single method.
Mm-hmm.
So we wanted to achieve it through custom markup extension. So it was quite interesting.
Let's hide the... Yeah, there we go. Limited screen space here.
Yeah.
All right, so we've got a text box with a custom markup. We've got a button, and we've got something else, probably.
Combo box.
A combo box, okay.
So the main challenge of this particular scenario is that while you, for convenience, you would like to use the same markup extension for each one of these scenarios, the actual types of the properties are different because they're different event handlers.
The event handlers and the event handler arguments are different.
Yeah. Exactly.
This is what I called you on at 3 in the morning before mix, so.
Yeah, it's quite a challenge. So.
Button click, I mean, generally takes rooted event tags. The other ones, let's say selection change, it takes selection changed event tags.
Right.
So we wanted to provide a mechanism where they will be able to call into one single function, even though the parameters of the event arguments are different. Actually.
So this is this is effectively equivalent to having the behaviors that we have in Blend that allow you to basically hook up a behavior to any event and then
mm-hmm.
write function code on it.
Right.
So now instead of using behavior, which you require the extra DLLs and a lot of XAML.
Absolutely. That's what...
We can simply have half a line of XAML to say, go call my method.
Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely.
All right. I'll shut up and let you show it now.
Sure. So first I'll try to run it and show what it does. Then I can walk through the code.
A text box, a combo box, and a button. There we go.
Right. Basically, this one calls all these three call the same function, and the function what it does is it is going to show who sent the event or where the event.
And the first one's on got focus.
Right. So
okay.
Xbox.
So anytime you get to focus, it's going to do that.
Sure. And whenever the item changes, it is going to tell.
Unselected.
Yeah.
And that's on click, I assume.
Yeah, right.
So it's three different events on three different controls with three different event arcs.
Right, exactly. So, yeah.
And you have one CME that's going to handle that.
Absolutely. So all the three are calling this function, basically the target class and the target function, basically target method.
This is your code behind?
Right.
Okay.
Right, main class code behind. This is the markup extension which tries to do that. Right?
So effectively, once you have this custom markup extension, if you can go back to your code behind real quick.
Sure.
Custom markup extension you write once. Your code behind then, you really just have to write this little bit of code, mm-hmm. hook it into your event handlers, and you're good.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So basically, we set the target class in the data context.
Mm-hmm.
So once I set the data context for the user control or the grid which is holding it, so all the controls within it will have access to that actually.
Right.
So, yeah. So that's what the custom markup extension does, right? So Mark was explaining about the I provide value target and mm-hmm. I root object provider, right? So with the I provide value target, I can I come to know which one is actually sending the request, whether it's the button or the combo box or what it is, right?
Yep.
So with that, I will be able to construct a event which is going to be generic, basically depending whether it's a rooted event tag or selection changed event tag
mm-hmm.
Using. Reflection. Then after that, I'm just going to invoke the function, the target function, which I had
okay.
defined in the main page.
Can we scroll for a second? Let me just ask a few questions
sure.
about some of this code, too. So as we're looking through this, the beginning there, you said we've got the target object. We're
right.
getting that out of the target, the provide value target, right?
Right. I provide value target.
Gotcha. I do, too. No. So you get the event target out of there, and then we're getting into parameters. And have for the delegate type.
Yeah, right.
And here's we're using an
so
reflection.
Basically, let's say it's a click event, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So in the click event, it gives me the parameters or the method, basically.
For the click event handler.
Click event. So invoke and its parameters. So then I construct a generic method, actually, with those events, and I kind of invoke.
Right, you're creating the method on the fly.
I create a delegate, basically. I create
yeah.
a delegate on the fly. And once the delegate is created, I just pass the function pointer or the delegate to the function defined there. Let's say
right.
whether it's a click or selection changed. So at runtime, when that one is called, basically there is a function pointer to this target method I defined actually.
Mm-hmm.
So then it gets called, invoked actually.
So all the code up to the point of the if root object is not equal to null basically is getting that delegate ready.
Absolutely.
And then at the if root object is not equal to null, that's where you're checking, make sure, okay, I've got a user control, that's your framework element, and then you're going to get the target.
Basically, I get the target class. So that's where the data context is set. I get the target class.
Mm-hmm.
So here, till this point, I prepare my parameters, what parameters I need to pass, and what are the, how generic I need to make. So
yep.
here, I get to know the context, and I get the method from that context, and I pass the parameters, creating
okay.
a delegate to it.
So we come down there, and so we add the event handler. We'll just show that real quick, too, if you could scroll up just a little.
Absolutely.
So we got add event handler, which is where it's associating with that target,
Absolutely.
The delegate that you created up above.
Right.
And then that's what that code at the bottom is actually doing, is actually invoking it.
Right. It's just invoking the target.
That's right. Okay, cool. Yeah, I think when we were going through all this, I probably spent more time than I needed to on the phone to make sure I understood what was going on as you put this all together. But this worked out really good. The trick with this particular one was figuring out how to handle all the different signatures
Absolutely.
Of the delegates could take.
Yeah.
But this is nice. So in the end, you end up with a nice custom generic
yeah.
CME.
And we are able to extend this to MVVM kind of a sample, actually.
Something so I'd love to hear about.
Yeah, yeah. If you have
and we'll provide this code so everybody can have this CME.
Right, right.
Just
Absolutely.
Send a nice donation to Mark's. Got a PayPal account, we'll put it up there, Mark, or we can donate to you. So here's the same CME in action in a more realistic
exactly.
example.
Yeah. So here, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to call a method using the markup extension on the view model
right.
from the view. So this method, it is going to change something in the view model, which is going to be reflected on the view.
Okay, so we've got a button, and we have an action that we want to happen
right.
when the button's clicked. Now, in a button click, I know we could use command, but the idea is we could do this for the button, we could do it for the data grid, for the list box.
Anything, actually.
Right-click on the grid panel with a mouse event. Any event.
Right.
And method is a parameter on the custom markup extension.
Yeah, so this is similar to the value one and value two, which we showed in the first example. Basically, it's a parameter value kind of, yeah.
Okay, here's a great screen.
It's a very, very simple example, which we kind of pulled it.
And when you click, it actually changes the text.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So do you have a view model in there? Can we just look at what the view model is doing real quick?
Absolutely. Nothing much. There is a sample string, and when they do something, it just compares it. And
so do something is the method that's getting fired off.
Right.
And then show me your code behind real quick, just to, not me, but them, just to prove that we're not doing any relaying or anything like that.
Nothing.
Yeah. In fact, we could get rid of the button click if we had to in there. Cool. I like it.
This is
one of my favorite features, just because it helps solve some MVVM problems. As I mentioned, in a lot of MVVM, people always ask, do I use commands? Do I use behaviors? What do I do? Should I just use the code behind? None of those answers are wrong. I mean, they all functionally work.
Right.
But I try to do consistency, meaning my general rule was always use commands for anything that's a button or button base, and then I use behavior for other things because you can't use a command for it. Now with custom markup extensions, you could effectively use the command for the button and use CMEs for everything else.
Everything else.
Yeah. Right. And the reason I say that is because the behaviors are just more verbose. They're, you know, 7 lines of XAML as opposed to half a line.
Oh.
And an extra DLL.
Right. That's all.
Cool. Hey, guys, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing all this. And if it's okay, we'll share the code samples with everybody?
Absolutely. We can share the generic custom markup extension, which we came up with.
Awesome. And I appreciate all the work you guys have done in Silverlight 5 coming to a theater near you soon. So thank you, guys.
Thanks a lot, John.
Thanks for watching Silverlight TV.
Thank you.